speak to us expressly. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to give glory to God for the privilege to be here. I thank our Father in the Lord for giving me this opportunity. In the morning, thy kingdom come was considered, and it has been expressly explained to us about the kingdom that we yearn for, every believer we yearn for. This evening, we are considering the kingdom of God. That is the topic we are looking at this evening, the kingdom of God. And our text is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 4, 20. Say, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. A person put it this way, say, is the kingdom of God is not just all talk, but action. Or all talk and no action is not, you know, the kingdom of God. Talking, it is living by God's power. The kingdom of God is not just talking, it is living by God's power. God's rule is shown in the lives of people by what they do rather than by what they say. That is another translation. God's rule is shown in the lives of people by what they do rather than by what they say. The commentary put it this way. The Adam Clark's commentary put it this way. So the religion of the Lord Jesus is not in words, in human eloquence, excellence of speech, or even in doctrines, but in power, in the mighty energy of the Holy Spirit, enlightening, quickening, converting, and sanctifying believers. So it's not about talk, eloquence. Yes, you can speak well. No, that is not what we're talking about. The action, the unction of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit that enable, that empower, that will make the believer to be able to make the impact. Whenever the gospel is effectual, it comes not in word only, but also in power, according to Matthew Henry's commentary. I'm talking about 1 Corinthians 2, 4, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20. That whenever the gospel is effectual, it comes not in word only. You can go, you can preach, do all that you can. Of course, you know that it's the Holy Spirit that convicts. But also in power by the Holy Spirit, quickening dead sinners, delivering persons from slavery of sin and Satan, renewing them both inwardly and outwardly, and comforting, strengthening, and establishing the saints, which cannot be done by the persuasive language of men, but by the power of God. We should glory in the power of God. The believer should glory in the power of God, not in his own power, not in his own intelligence or eloquence that he can speak. No, glory in the power of the Holy Spirit, without which we are nothing. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. He said, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as in know what manner of men will wear among you for your sake. For the gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. So, if we labor from morning to night, and the Holy Spirit is not here, it will amount to nothing. The theological scope of the kingdom of God can be viewed from three dimensions. The scope of the kingdom of God theologically can be viewed from three dimensions. The Bible talks about the kingdom of God in several ways. In one way, it means God is the absolute ruler of all that is in existence. Exodus 15 verse 8 says, "The Lord will reign forever and ever." Praise the Lord. The Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord started reigning before we were born. Before Abraham came into existence. And he is still reigning. He will still continue to reign. But we know that the king of this world, they don't reign forever. Kingdom come and kingdom go. Yesterday, a different kingdom was reigning. But today, America is reigning. We have kings who have reigned in time past who are no longer in existence today. We have presidents who reigned yesterday. Their words, their authority and power, they could pronounce things and it came to be. They could call the things that were not in existence, they come into existence. They can go into a forest and declare, you know, an institution in that place and the place become a city. But today, their words are not powerful again. They are like ordinary men. Praise the Lord. Even in our environment here, we have kings who reigned yesterday. But today, they are no longer king. Is that not? But our Lord reigned forever and ever. Psalm 24 verse 10 says, "He is the King of glory." Our God is the King of glory. 1 Timothy 1 7, 17. 1 Timothy 1 verse 17. "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever." Our God reigns forever. He's not like us. The Bible paints for us the picture of God as the great and mighty King. That is the one we are serving. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve.
What a mighty God we serve.
What a mighty God we serve.
We serve a mighty God. We serve the one that reigns forever. His kingdom does not expire. The second way we can look at the scope of the kingdom of God, the phrase "the kingdom of God," is to describe the rule and the reign of Jesus in our hearts. Jesus reigns in our hearts. Those who have come to him, of course, they receive him as their Lord and Savior. The believer receives Jesus into his life and he accepts him as his Lord, as his King and Savior. So Jesus is our King. That is another perspective, another dimension we can look at the kingdom of God. So he's coming to reign in our hearts. Thirdly, the scripture presents the kingdom of God both as being in the present and in the future. These are the three dimensions. The absolute ruler, the one who reigns, the one whose tenure does not end. Then the king that reigns in our hearts. Then we talk about the kingdom of God in the future. And he's reigning now. He's the King of Kings now. Is he the King of Kings tomorrow? Praise the Lord. Application. How do we apply the principle of the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God in this present state, he speaks of Jesus Christ being absolute Lord over all that exists, over our lives. The essence of the Sermon on the Mount and several other parables that our Lord Jesus Christ taught while he was alive, while he was on the earth, is that Jesus is to be the Lord of our lives. He is to be the most valuable one who exercises authority in our lives. He is the Lord of our life. But knowing that he is to be the Lord in our lives and allowing him to reign are two different things entirely. That Lord, yes, is the Lord of Lords. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. You confess him. But allow him to actually reign is another thing entirely. Praise the Lord. That is why somebody can confess that he is born again, but he has not surrendered completely unto the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. A king cannot give a command and the subject will do otherwise. Praise the Lord. If you do that, it means you are not subject to the king again. If the king makes a pronouncement, it is expected that every subject, everybody under him, will fall down. They will obey. Praise the Lord. If the king of Ogoni, if he make a pronouncement, it's not going to be binding the people who reside in Abraka here under the kingdom. Praise the Lord. If our king make a pronouncement, it's not going to be binding the people that are in that side. So it is too. If you accept the Lord as your Lord and Savior, he is your king and your Savior. Do you allow him to reign? Do you subject yourself to his rulership? That is the question that you should ask yourself. If you are not subjecting yourself to the rulership, means you have not surrendered all. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all to Jesus, blessed Savior. Have you actually surrendered all? That is a question you should ask yourself. Let's look at Matthew chapter 20. I'll take it from verse 20 down to 28. Yeah, there you can read for us. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 to 28. Who is reading for us? Yes.
Sons may sit the one on the right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. And he said unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared by my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. 27. And whosoever will be the chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many.
Praise God. Yes, the story is about the mother of Zebedee, children, with her sons. They came worshipping the Lord, and he made the request. Let these my children, one sit by your side, by right, the other one by left. We have work for you. So please, the Commissioner of Finance, I'm the one to nominate him. And the Vice, the Deputy Governor, I'll be the one to nominate him too. And Jesus did not say no. He did not say outrightly no. He says it's not within his power to grant out your request. It's a noble request, but it's not within his power to grant it. He subjected himself to the will of the Father. So the kingdom of God, number one, the kingdom of God is about glorifying God, not advancing the ambition of men. Praise the Lord. The kingdom of God we are talking about is about glorifying him. If you are a subject, if you are a citizen of this kingdom, your duty, your desire is to glorify God and not to advance your ambition. I want to do this. You want to be a doctor. You want to be a lawyer. It's a noble desire. But is that the will of God for you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus said you don't know what you are asking. In other words, the kingdom of God is not what you think it is. Not like the kingdom of the Gentiles. The way they do, the way they live, no. It's not like that of the people of the world. Amassing wealth. Do it into glorify self. Self, self first. Number two, self. Number three, self. Praise the Lord. The ultimate aim and goal of a citizen of this kingdom is to glorify God. Number two, life within the kingdom of God is life lived under God's authority. You must live your life under the authority of our God. If your life is outside of his authority, you are doing things that are outside of his will and purpose for you, what he authorized, you are not doing it, means you are not under this kingdom we are talking about. You have deviated. Jesus surrendered his will to the will of the Father. We remember that at the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed. He desired. He was seeing what was coming. It was tough. It was not easy. But in all this, he still surrendered his will to the will of the Father. John 6 verse 38, Jesus said he did not come to do his own will, but to do the will of the Father who sent him. Are you doing the will of the one who sent you, the will of the one who called you, the will of the one who you are serving day and night? That is the question you should ask yourself. I will ask myself. We are expected to surrender our will to the will of the Father in this kingdom business. Life in the kingdom of God is upside down from life in the empires of men. Life in the kingdom of God is upside down when you compare it to life lived by men in the empires of men. Of course, The Bible said that the first shall be the last, and the last shall be first. That is upside down, is that not? To look at it logically and lead, you know, it is out of place that the person who came first, the person who struggled and woke up 4 o'clock, it should be the last. Those who are coming, you know, they are going to be number one. No, that is upside down. The Bible expects us as believers that if they slap the right sheep, what do you do? What is expected of the believer? So turn the other one for them to give another dirty slap. Praise the Lord. That is upside down. It's out of reasoning. That you are healthy, and that the person that is slapping you, you can fight the person. The person give you a dirty slap out of nothing. Ordinarily, it's expected that you should do something. Praise the Lord. If you cannot do something, of course, you have to go and report so that the law will catch up with the person. But they are telling you that when they slap you one, turn and let the second one be treated the same way. That is upside down. John the Baptist said that he must decrease, why our Savior must increase. There's no man who will naturally want to decrease in that way, but that is the kingdom business. And of course, no wonder they said that of all men born of women, there's no one that is as great as John the Baptist. No one. But in the kingdom of God, he is the least. Praise the Lord. That is an analogy that is upside down too. It's an analogy that is upside down. Of course, in the world, greatness is determined by status. But in the kingdom of God, it is by function. Greatness is by function. Not because you are big. You are an eminent personality in the society. That does not translate to the things of God. The function, what you have done in the kingdom business, that is what will qualify you. And that is why we'll be surprised when we get to heaven. Some persons that are common, that will look to be nothing, of course, they have accumulated, you know, ahead of others that will look to be great. Praise the Lord. If you are a Christian and you have been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit and you reside in you, then you are a citizen of this kingdom we are talking about. So in other words, for you to be a citizen of this kingdom, you must have been transformed. For somebody to be a student of this school, must have gotten your 5 credit O level, and you pass the requirement of JAMB and pursue TME before you are allowed to come in to this institution. In the same way, for you to be qualified to be a citizen of the kingdom of God we are talking about, you must have been transformed. You must have surrendered your will to the will of the Father. You must have surrendered unto Him. Say, Lord, I surrender unto you. I surrender unto you. You surrender your will to the will of the Father. In 1 Corinthians 4 verse 20, it captioned by some that service without power is useless. That is power to serve. Power to serve is a caption. Or summarize, power to serve. That is, in other words, if you want to serve the Lord, mechanically and with your own power, you will not be able to serve Him. You need the Spirit of God to serve Him. And so it's not about that you are using your energy. You want to serve the Lord. That is fitira. The Spirit of God is the one that will enable you and energize you to be able to do the needful. We are going to stand to pray now. Let's rise up to pray. The kingdom of God. It's what we have just considered now. The kingdom of God. We all desire, every believer here, we desire that one day we will reign with the Lord, we will be with Him in His kingdom. And for you to be in this kingdom, you must surrender your will. You must surrender to His Lordship. You must surrender to His Lordship. He must be your King. He must be your Lord. He must be your Savior. Let's open our mouth to appreciate the name of the Lord. For what He has done for us and what is here to do. For the price that He paid at the cross of Calvary for us. For the provision He made for our salvation. Let's appreciate the name of the Lord. He paid the debt. He did not owe. I owe the debt. I could not pay. I need a song to wash my sins away.
But now I sing a brand new song. I'm living.
Lord Jesus,
and I could have
been.
He paid the debt. He did not owe. I owe the debt. I could not pay. I need that someone to wash my sins away.
Matthew 4 verse 17. Matthew 4 verse 17. Say, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We're going to talk to the Lord that the Lord will give us the grace of repentance. He will give the grace of repentance to as many who are yet to come to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the Lord will give the grace of repentance to them. The Lord will give the grace of repentance to them. Yes, you have repented, but there are some who have not repented. Pray for them. Commit them to the Lord. That the Lord who will enable you, who open your eye, remove the scale from it, and enable you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will also enable those who are yet to be saved, and they will be saved. To the Lord, talk to the Lord. By strength shall no man prevail. It is the Spirit of God that convicts, and the Spirit that convicted you, the Spirit that enabled you to forsake all, will also enable the brethren, enable those who are yet to come to term with the work of Christ at Calvary, that they will come to term with us, that He will open your eye the way He opened your eye. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Matthew 11:11. Matthew 11:11. Say, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, they have not risen a greater than John the Baptist. We are going to pray that the Lord will give us the humility of John the Baptist. He will give us the grace of humility. That will humble ourselves. The Bible says that the Lord resists the proud, but the one who is humble, He will give grace. Let's talk to the Lord, that the Lord will give us the spirit of humility. the grace of humility. The grace of humility. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Matthew 25, verse 34. Say, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 41. Say, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angel. We are going to pray that our labor will not end in hellfire. That we are not going to labor in the day, labor in the night for the kingdom business, and I will not enter the promised land. That anything that will make us not to enter the promised land, just as Moses saw the promised land, but he could not enter, that the Lord will remove it. The Lord will sweep away. The Lord will wipe away. The Lord will remove anything that is going to make us not to be able to enter into the promised land. Not to enter into the kingdom that we are talking about. The kingdom of God, it is our desire, it is our wish that we will reign with him, that we will be with him one day. Anything that is going to make you not to be able to enter, not to be able to inherit the kingdom, that will make the second statement of 41, verse 41 of Matthew 25, to be said unto it, that the Lord should remove it. The Lord should roll it away from our pathway while we walk with him. But at the statement of verse 34 will be our portion. He will say unto us that we, blessed, we should come into the rest, the place he has prepared for us. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Colossians 1 verse 13. Say, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I'm going to talk to the Lord that every power that want to drag you to Egypt, every power that want to drag you from where the Lord has delivered you from, and that power should be paralyzed. Talk to the Lord. Every power that will drag me to Egypt, that will drag me from where the Lord has moved me from, oh Father, cause that power to be paralyzed in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord has translated me. He has moved me from darkness into light. Every power that want to take me back, be paralyzed in the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let every power that want to take you back to Egypt, let that power be paralyzed. In the name of Jesus. That power that want to take you back to Egypt, let that power be paralyzed. In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. The power that is contending with your destiny, I want to move you, take you back to Egypt. Let that power be paralyzed. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, We are prayed. Matthew 19 verse 24. Say again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go into the kingdom of heaven. And the richness here may not be only in wealth, in terms of money. You have richness, you are blessed. You have talents. Anything that you have that is going to make you to be a candidate of hell, talk to the Lord that the Lord will remove it. Any obstacle in forms of wealth, that is going to make you to be a candidate of hell, that will make you to end in hellfire, tell the Lord to roll it away, to remove it, to remove it. We are not saying that the Lord will make you to be poor so that you can go to heaven. No. That element, that is going to make you in your wealth, in the riches, in what the Lord has blessed you with, that is going to drag you to hellfire, let the Lord take it away. Let the Lord take it away. In the mighty name of Jesus. The Lord should take it away. That thing that will make you not to make heaven, talk to the Lord that he will take it away. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. In the mighty name of Jesus, we are prayed. Luke 12, verse 32. Say, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We are going to talk to the Lord. Anything that is going to deprive us of what the Lord has in store for us in the month of July, that the Lord will contend with it. The Lord will remove it. The Lord will destroy it. Talk to the Lord. Anything that is going to make what the Lord has in store for you in the month of July, the blessing the Lord has in store for you in the month of July, every power that wants to make it not to get to your hand, that the Lord will paralyze that power. The Lord will roll away that power. The Lord will destroy that power. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, your blessing that you have for me in the month of July, every power that will make me not to take delivery of them, let that power be paralyzed. In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Every power that will make me not to partake of the blessing of the Lord that he has for me in the month of July, be paralyzed. In the name of Jesus. Be paralyzed. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praised. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 1. That you will walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. We are going to talk to the Lord that the Lord will give us the grace to walk worthy of the call he has called us. We are called to be Christian. We will not live a life that is opposite of that of a Christian. We will not live a life that contradicts that of Christianity. That will live a life that is worthy of the call. The grace to live a life that is worthy of the call he has called us. Let's talk to the Lord that he will give unto us. Lord, I need the grace. The grace to walk worthy of your call upon my life. Give unto me in the name of Jesus. Lord, give me the grace. Give me the grace. Give me the grace. Give me the grace. In the name of Jesus. I need the grace. In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 5. The Amplified put it this way. Say, this is positive proof of the just and right judgment of God to the end, that you may be deemed deserving of his kingdom. A plain token of his fair verdict, which designed that you should be made and counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for the sake of which you are also suffering. Praise the Lord. You are going to talk to the Lord that you will not suffer in vain. You will not suffer serving the Lord in vain. You will not suffer serving the Lord in vain. People must have made mockery of you. You don't reach and you are going to church. Yes. What do you have to show? That you are suffering, you are going to church. You are suffering for righteousness' sake. You are standing for righteousness. And you have been targeted, Mr. Righteousness. Mr. Holy Holy, that it will not be in vain. You need tangible testimony that the Lord will manifest himself, he will show himself. Oh, that your suffering will not be in vain, your effort will not be in vain in serving the Lord. It will not be in vain. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, my serving the Lord will not be in vain. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Hebrews 12:28. It said, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Talk to the Lord that the Lord will give you the grace. The grace to serve him acceptably. The grace to serve him with reverence and godly fear that he will give unto you. The kingdom that we are inheriting, the kingdom that we are aiming at, is a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And so, pray for grace that the Lord will give you the grace. The grace to serve him acceptably. He will not serve him in your own term, in your own condition. You will serve him in the way he wants it, so that you can get the blessing that he has in store for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks, we give you praise. You desire, your thought and desire for us, they are noble, they are positive. You have desire for us to inherit the kingdom. You have desire for us to reign with you. Father, let every obstacle, every barrier that is going to make it impossible for us to reign with you at last, Father, roll it away from our lives in the name of Jesus. The grace to serve you and serve you to make heaven, Father, let it rest upon us in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we need the grace. We need grace to do exploit for you. In the month of July, Lord, the grace to serve you faithfully, give unto us in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you will give us the grace to do what is expected of us, that our life will attract men to your kingdom. But Father, that our life will not repel men from your kingdom in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The grace to do good, give unto us in the name of Jesus Christ. The grace for our leader to serve in righteousness and holiness, give unto them in the name of Jesus. Lord, we worship you. We give you thanks. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Give me grace to follow. Abundant grace to follow, sufficient grace
to follow your grace.
Abundant grace to follow, sufficient grace to follow your grace.
Amen. Can you have a seat for a moment?